Well, one thing that I wanted to announce to you this morning, and we've been talking about this a little bit, but we have missionaries that were planning on going to the Ivory Coast, Bob and Michaela Mack. And unfortunately, they've had some medical things come up, and they were unable to be able to get to the Ivory Coast. So they've had to put that on pause for now until they can get their medical things in order. And so I just reached out to them and asked them what exactly they're going through, how much money they've spent. And so I got a message from him. And they simply said that they had around $20,000 in medical expenses since January already. They used their entire savings, which was around $9,000 to $10,000, and then any extra funds they had toward paying that off. They have had a few people that helped them in addition to what they've already done, and so they only had about $1,000 to $2,000 left. So we contacted our directors already, and we actually already sent them $2,000 U.S. from our missions fund just to pay that medical bill off. Now, the issue that they're running into is now future treatment. So that's just from January. He has still several things going on. So Bob has injections every month now. They're $400 every month. In addition to blood tests every 3 months, which are $1,500, so that's $500 a month. As well, medication and treatment course costs are several hundred a month. So they have lost around $10,000 in their savings. And they have over $1,000 a month in medical bills just with this particular thing alone. And so we just want to try and be a blessing to them in this time of transition. So we were supporting them on a monthly basis just to be missionaries to the Ivory Coast. So what we would like to do is we'd like to take up an offering for them. So over the next couple of weeks, really the month of October, we are going to take an offering for their needs. What we're going to do is if you just want to put on there Bob and Michaela Mack, if you want to put Bob Jr., because we also support his dad as well, and they have the exact same name. And so if you want to put Bob Jr., that will be helpful. If you want to send an e-transfer, just mark that in there. That way we know who it's going for. And what we're going to do is at the banquet every year, we've already talked about the banquet. At the banquet every year, we take an offering, and whoever gives the most, whatever section gives the most, we let them go first for dessert. Some of you know this. It's a lot of fun. We do it. Most of the time, what we do on that offering is we just put that back toward the banquet, the expenses for the weekend, and different things. This year, what we want to do is we want to culminate the event with giving whatever's brought in that night to Bob and Michaela. And so we really want to just send them some love and just let them know that we care about them. And so I just really want to challenge you to encourage this young couple to figure out their medical needs as they go forward. And their goal is to someday go to the Ivory Coast still. They're not giving up on that. They just can't do it right now. And so they're just trying to figure out the Lord's direction and all this. So we just want to try to be a blessing to them. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get started this morning. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for this church and the wonderful thing that it is. Father, I thank you so much for people who want to join our church and be a part of it and spend time here and commit to this relationship of meeting one another's needs and so fulfilling the law of Christ. Father, I just pray that your will be accomplished here in this place. Thank you so much that we're able to have a baptism this week. And Father, just the three people that are going to be baptized, we're so grateful for that opportunity as well. Father, we pray that as we open your word, that your will would be accomplished. Father, there would be nothing that I say, but Father, it would be your Holy Spirit working in lives. Thank you so much for this opportunity. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 10 and verse 10. Do you know the verse? We're going to go to John chapter 13 in our Bibles. But John chapter 10 and verse 10, the Bible says this. Are you ready? The thief cometh not, and to kill. All right, that is our theme verse for the year. We encourage you all to memorize it. It's an excellent verse. A lot of truth packed in there about Jesus Christ and who he is. We're going to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, if you don't have a Bible, maybe share it with somebody next to you or pull out your phone, download a Bible app real fast. We're using the King James Version. We want you to follow along with us. John chapter 13. I want you to think about this. From the time we are born, we and everyone around us, you know what we focus on? We focus on achievements. Achievements. Say, what does that mean? Even when you're in your mother's womb, we focus on achievements. There are achievements that you hit, and somehow, some way, we've likened them to vegetables. I'm not really sure why we do this, but it's weird. So there are several key milestones that you have to hit. A couple of them are the size of a sweet pea. I don't know why. Then you grow and hit an achievement of grape. Then you go and hit an achievement of peach, then avocado, and then the grand old watermelon. Funny, isn't it? We always have achievements. Outside of the womb, there are all kinds of growth metrics that we compare each other to. We compare height, we compare weight, we even compare the head circumference. Man, was mine ever big. Was. Thank you. Past tense. Then we ask about achievements. I remember sitting in the doctor's office with our kids and the doctor asking, are they walking? Are they talking? Can they put blocks one on top of another? Achievements, constantly looking at achievements. When we get to school, guess what it is? All about achievements. I remember my first achievement. I can remember it to this day. Every single person in the kindergarten class got an achievement. And I remember standing up with my sign that said, most exuberant. And I remember the whole crowd erupted in laughter. I didn't know what exuberant meant. I do now. I'm slightly offended. Grades are very important in school. Report cards come out and point to your what? Your achievements, how you're doing. Same in high school. Same in college. You're trying to achieve a high school diploma, or you're trying to get a bachelor's degree, or you fill in the blank. Then when we get to the workplace, guess what? We have numbers to hit at our jobs. We have to accomplish a certain task. We have achievements. Everything is about achievements. When we're talking to people, we often talk about our achievements. What did you do this weekend? Well, I built a shed, made an achievement, I worked out, I lifted this much weight. You fill in the blank, listen, we talk about our achievements. In fact, we're often identified by our achievements. Men, you know what we ask? What do you do? Ladies, you know what you ask? How many children do you have? It's all based on achievement. Where have you traveled? How much money do you make? What have you done with your life? It's all based on achievements. Constantly, we talk about our achievements. We're constantly pursuing further achievements. Constantly, we're trying to pay off our house early, or we're trying to pay off debt, or we're trying to get to the next rank or the next level in our business. The list goes on and on and on. We're constantly trying to get further achievements. To be honest, if we haven't figured this out yet, we're pretty much achievement-focused beings. Some of you, I ask, I'm just happy to be out of bed this morning. It's an achievement, everybody. It's an achievement. What is the next thing that we can conquer? What's the next achievement? What's the next milestone? What is the next thing to achieve in our life? We all want to achieve something in life. We don't want to be or do nothing. We want to achieve. We want to accomplish some things in life, even if they're relatively small in the grand scale. Every one of us wants to achieve something. Our passage today describes a man who is focused solely on achievement. Solely. A little context to give you. Jesus in John chapter 13 is in the upper room with his disciples. He's no longer speaking to the multitudes. He's no longer out and about. He's in the upper room with his disciples. He has washed the disciples' feet. We talked last week about the fact that he had honored Judas by giving him what the Bible calls the sop. And now Jesus is continuing to instruct his disciples. And we find in John chapter 13 and verse 33, Jesus continues, he says this, little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. This is the third time in the book of John that Jesus has said, where I go, you can't come. Where I go, you can't come. Now, I want you to sit and think about this for a second. He has called 12 disciples, and you know what he said to them? Follow me. That was his call. He went around to the disciples, and as they were fishing, and as they were tax collecting, and as they were doing what they were doing, he comes to them and he says, follow me. But now here in John chapter 13, he's saying, I'm going somewhere and you will not be able to follow. I want you to think about this. Some of these men have given up their livelihoods to follow Jesus. They've given up their jobs. They've given up their, in some cases, their families to follow the man that they put their faith and trust in. And now he's saying, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to leave you and you will not be able to follow me. On top of that, now think about this. Jesus had just told them that one of them, one of the 12, would betray him. Oh, this is just getting exciting, Jesus. I mean this with all sincerity. And it's easy for us just to read a verse and just never think about what's going on. But I mean this. Their world, everything that they had thought and worked for the last 3 years was literally falling apart in front of them. The men that we've traveled with, one of us is going to betray. And now, Jesus, you're telling us that you're leaving us to a place that we cannot follow? Let me ask you this. What do you do when your world starts to fall apart? What do you do when your world starts to crumble? Most of us, you know what we try to do? We try to take the bull by the horns. All right, I'm going to make this happen. This will not happen in my house. This is not going to happen in my business. We're not going down like this, right? I'm not going to allow this to happen. And so we try to, if you will, accomplish something. We try to. I'm not going to allow this to happen, but watch what Peter says as we continue through this verse. In verse 34 and 35, Jesus talks about loving each other. Remember that? Talked about that last week. But Peter is the type of person to grab the bull by the horns. Now jump down to verse 36. The Bible says this. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Peter asked a very frank question. Why can't I follow you? I want to follow you. I want to walk with you. I gave up everything to walk with you, to talk with you. Listen, he says, I don't care what you say, Jesus. I am going to follow you. I will follow you, even if it means to death. Peter is declaring that he is the one who is going to accomplish it. Of all the other disciples, everybody sitting around, Peter says, nope, I'm going to do it. You might say all of us are going to forsake you, all of us can't follow you, but I will follow you. Peter is going to be the one to have the crowning achievement, to be the only one who follows Jesus no matter where he goes. Unfortunately, Jesus stops him. He says, thank you, Peter. But look what he says in John chapter 13 and verse 38. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Really, Peter? Really, you say that you will follow me even to death, but tonight, before morning, before the cock crows, before the rooster gets up in the morning, you will have denied me thrice. Not once, not twice, but three times. Jesus is about to flip the paradigm on its head. So I want you to put yourself in their position. They've just found out that someone is going to betray them. Jesus is leaving them to a place that he cannot, that they cannot follow him. And number three, Jesus just said about Peter, the strongest, loudest of them all, that he was going to deny Jesus. all of something they could not comprehend. Obviously, they would be a bit worried, be a bit scared, be a bit frustrated. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 1. Notice what Jesus says very lovingly, very kindly, "Let not your heart be troubled." Listen, guys, it's going to be okay. Don't be scared. Don't be angry. Don't be troubled. He says, "You believe in God, believe also in me." Notice he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? We don't even know where you're going. How do we know how to get there?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Listen, I want you to see this. Jesus has just said, "I'm going to a place that you cannot come." Peter says, no, "We're going." And he says, "You cannot go now, but you will someday." And then Jesus goes on to say that in my Father's house, which is heaven, there are many mansions. He's going to prepare a place for us. And if he goes, he's going to come again. Why? He's going to come again to receive us to himself, that where he is, we can be also. He's going to do something so that all of us can eventually follow him. And I love it. He says, "And whither I go, ye know." Where I go, where I am going, you know where it is. And the way to get there, you know how to get there. And again, most of us are like, we don't know where. Thomas is perfect in saying, we don't even know where you're going, let alone how to get there. Often, my wife is the person who establishes what we're doing socially. So she will get something in talking and going through things, and they will send their address to her. And I will get in the vehicle, and I will say, "I need an address." Happens almost daily. She's like, "Okay," grabs it, I punch it in. There have been a few times where she is busy doing something else on her phone. I'm not quite sure what. And I'm just driving literally aimlessly. And I'm like, "Babe, I just need an address." Finally, I get the address. There's nothing more frustrating for me than to drive aimlessly around in the wrong direction every which way. Listen, you have to have an idea of where you're going. These guys are saying, "We don't even know where you're going. How are we supposed to get there? Do you have an address?" Jesus simply says, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You cannot make it to the Father, to the Father's house, but by me." It's through me. He's simply saying, "Where I am going, you cannot come. But if you believe in me, I will prepare a place. And when I have come, when I have prepared a place, excuse me, I will come again and I will be with you." What is Jesus talking about here? Jesus is talking simply about heaven. And in verse 6, he says the only way to make it to heaven is through him. There is no other way. I think I need to make this really, really clear today. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You see, many of this in this world think that we can make it to heaven our own way. There, in fact, you'll hear many celebrities, you'll hear many people say, there are many different ways to get to God. That's a nice sentiment and that feels good, but the reality is there is only one way to get to God. Our good works will never outweigh our bad works. Never. We cannot pay enough money. We cannot obey enough commandments to make our way to heaven. We cannot accomplish it on our own. We think we can. We think we can achieve that, but we cannot. At the turn of the century, a USA Today article was written about a billionaire named Ted Turner. He was the founder of CNN and the owner of the Atlanta Braves. Toward the end of the article, Turner explained his view of life. He said this, "You know, I'm not looking for any big rewards. I'm not a religious person. I believe this life is all we have. I'm not doing what I'm doing to be rewarded in heaven or punished in hell. I'm doing it because I feel it's the right thing to do." Boy, doesn't that sound good? He says this, "Almost every religion talks about a Savior coming." He says, when you look in the mirror in the morning, when you are putting on your lipstick or you're shaving, you're looking at the Savior. Nobody else is going to save you but yourself. You see, I read that this morning because that is the mentality of many, many people, maybe sitting here today. If not, it's the mentality of many people in our culture today, the fact that we are going to make the accomplishment. We are going to achieve it. We are going to get there on our own. We can do it. Anybody is going to make it happen. It's going to be me. I am my own Savior. I don't need anybody else. But listen, this is the most fundamentally flawed idea. But I want you to understand this. Though it's the most fundamentally flawed, it is the most humanly natural. It's the most humanly natural. It's natural because you and I have gotten used to providing for ourselves. You and I have gotten used to accomplishing things. You and I have gotten used to achieving a certain criteria. We've done it all our lives. We've built our own businesses. We've made our own way. The old saying is, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps, which I've always thought was a weird way to say something. We think we can do it all. After all, we've raised a family. We've gotten this far in life. But Jesus is literally saying to Peter, who's saying, "No, Jesus, I will follow you. I will do it." Jesus is saying, "You cannot. As hard as you will try, as much as you will do, you can't reach it. There is no physical, no earthly, human way for you to make it on our own." We'll rise up, and I have no doubt in this moment Peter is sincere. I think every time Peter spoke, he was sincere and passionate. I don't think he was just blowing steam. I don't think he was just trying to make a big hullabaloo. I don't think he was trying to do any of that. I think he was genuinely sincere. And you and I think we're sincere. We're determined. I'm sure I will accomplish this on my own. But just like Peter, guess what? We don't even know our own hearts. Just like Peter says, "I will never deny you. I will follow you to the death." And Jesus says, "Tonight, before morning comes, you'll deny me three times." What if Jesus said that to you? You would be like, "Absolutely no way. I can't even imagine a time where I would do that." Listen, that's because you and I don't know our own heart. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the Bible says this, "The heart is deceitful." Listen to this. "Above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" So you and I think we got it all figured out. You and I think we know who we are. You and I think we can accomplish what we can accomplish. But the reality is, spiritually, our heart is desperately wicked. We think we have the stamina. But when it comes right down to it, every one of us will fall short every single time. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned," watch, "and come short of the glory of God." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith." Notice very clearly, "and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This is one achievement that you and I will never accomplish on our own. you might get mad at that and say, how dare you say that? It's just the truth. Don't get mad at me, get mad at Jesus if you want. But the reality is this. Jesus made it so easy. He just said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. He made it so easy. There is only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. That may seem harsh to you, that may seem elitist, that may seem exclusive, but that is the furthest thing from the truth. He says this again in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Don't get upset by that. Don't get angry by that. Just calm down. Don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then in verse 4, notice again, he says, and whither I go, ye know. And the way, ye know. Jesus is simply saying this. You already know the way. You already know what to do. I've already shown it to you. You don't have to search for it. Listen, the reality is this. Many people that maybe sit in this room today or will hear this message online or some type of message like this, they'll think, oh, I've got to go searching for. Listen, Jesus has it right in front of you. He's got it right there. You don't have to search for it. It's already right there. All you have to do is just believe. Just believe. There's nothing else for you to do. Again, put yourself in these disciples' feet. Jesus has just washed your feet. He's told you that one of you will betray. I'm going somewhere. Peter, you're going to deny me. Everything's a ruckus. Everything's falling apart. Life is completely unmanageable. You can't do it on your own. What do? Jesus says, just trust me. Just trust me because there's coming a day when I'm going to return. There's coming a day where I am going to make a way for you that you can have an eternal home in heaven with me, and I will come get you. Listen, you don't have to do anything. You just have to trust me and be ready. Just trust me and be ready because someday I'm going to come back, and when I come back, be ready because we're going to spend eternity together. Listen, you can push, you can shove, you can be loud, you can be obnoxious, you can be grab a life by the horns kind of person, but none of that will help you. The only thing that will help you is right here before you in this moment right now, and that's Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to present to you Jesus. In just a few chapters, Jesus will die. In just a few chapters, he will be buried. And in just a few chapters, his disciples will be without a leader, without their beloved rabbi. And they would hide, and they would be fearful. But here's the wonderful thing. Just 3 days after he was killed, and after he was buried, 3 days later, Jesus would rise from the dead. And then he would ascend into heaven. And you know what he's doing there? He's preparing a place for us. He's preparing a place for everyone who will believe in him. And he is waiting there until the day that his father says, son, it's time to go and claim your bride. And that day's coming. Because when he comes again and he receives those who believe, where he is, we can be also. Let me simply ask you this. If Jesus were to come back today, would you be ready? If Jesus were to come back today, would you be ready? Are you ready for that time? Are you fully trusting in the one and only way, Jesus Christ? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for all you do for us. Father, if there's one person here today that does not know you as personal Savior, I pray today would be the day. Father, I pray that your will would be accomplished. Father, you've created a way for all mankind, no matter our race, our stripe, our creed. You've created a way for every single one of us to have a home in heaven, to be with you for all eternity, to follow you. Father, if there's one person that doesn't know that today, I pray today would be the day that they put their faith and trust in you as the way, the truth, and the life. Father, whatever you'll do in this place, we give you the praise and glory for it. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.